What's happening, everybody? Welcome back to the Weekend Talk and welcome back to Anime Casuals. I am Lucky, and it is just me today because, I started to catch a little bit of something, so I just wasn't able to record at the time that we usually record. So anyway, if you guys are new to the Weekend Talk, basically what we do is we talk about our anime that we're all catching up with each week. We're we watch each week, and in particular, recently we have four. So, and we typically do them in hype order. So, just meaning the first one that we list is usually the least hype. Doesn't mean it's bad. It just means out of all four, in this case, out of all four of them, it's just the least hype out of all of them. To the last, which would be the most hype, which no surprises here. It is My Hero Academia, which is the last. So anyway, we have Spy X Family episode 19. Gosh, dude, that Bleach episode was actually pretty fire. See what I did there? You'll see what I mean in a second. Chainsaw Man episode 6, Bleach Thousand Year Blood War episode 6, and My Hero Academia season 6. Episode 120. So yeah, let's start off with Spy X Family. So I kind of wish Michael was here because he's read the manga. So for Spy X Family, once again, this is Spy X Family episode 19, excuse me. And this episode definitely felt as if it were a bit of a filler. You know, you can kind of tell when a filler is happening. When, I mean, obviously there's a couple different things, but when the resolution doesn't affect the bigger story. So we had this young kid who, his family looks like it's getting screwed over by the Desmond group. And this kid is just dealing with a lot. He's like, oh, I've got to have to leave the school now that my father got fired from your company. Desmond tries to basically hatch a revenge plot against him. And yeah, it just doesn't end up happening, which I kind of saw that coming from a mile away. That actually wasn't my favorite part of this episode. I actually really liked the second part of the episode. So even though the first part of the episode had, it definitely had like a cooler kind of overarching theme. You know, it had like, you know, Desmond's family screwing over another family, but actually, you know, not. And actually, funny enough, even though this might be a filler, I'm not completely sure. We get to see a different side of Desmond that we don't usually get to see, which is this very compassionate, very... obviously, once again, this is the how you know it's a filler, right? He goes right back to his main attitude after everybody figures out, right, that this kid is actually, their family actually got absorbed into the Desmond Empire, so his father just wasn't going to have his name on the name of the company, but he was still going to be able to do pretty much everything he was doing before and still make them out of money. So basically, the Desmond's father saved his company. So. I would like to see if they bring that kid back. I thought he was an interesting character. Interesting design as well. You know, they typically have that flat top over the eyes for some of these more... the way that they animated him, he definitely looked a lot more like one of these sinister characters. But I like the dichotomy between his pure-ish, right, goals. You know, obviously he feels like his family's been overthrown or his family's been thrown... mistreated, so he tries to go back, you know, at Desmond and all that stuff. But either way, you know, not too bad of a start of an episode. But yeah, I like the Yor part of this, but just because it gets to show her. I feel like we haven't gotten a whole lot of her recently, and especially with her crazy feats. I mean, dude, that what she did with that flower pot, you know, where she just this lady drops a flower pot and she literally sees it. Kicks it back up to her in the exact right place before she even notices. Ridiculous. I like the fact that we get to see some of the physicality of her. Because, you know, she is an assassin, so it would make sense that she's a little bit more hands-on than Lloyd or Twilight is. You know, because he's a lot more espionage, more, you know, thinking, that kind of stuff, whereas she is much more... You know, I'm just here to kill you all. It was cool to see her, you know, kind of take both roles, right? The mother and the the physicality role to get try and get Anya's gym clothes to her, even though obviously we figure out towards the end of the episode that it is not gym day. But it was fun to kind of see her do that. But actually, what I really liked was the end of the episode when Lloyd, you know, he comes to come check on her, and you know, after he's spying at the school and he realizes that, you know, she was over there. He goes to check out and make sure that she doesn't know what he's up to. And then they have this really cool moment between them where, you know, she's kind of, you know, sad about not being a good mother, all that kind of stuff. And Lloyd takes her out to lunch. I like those kind of family building moments. Funny enough, you know, even though I do not like Boruto, there are a couple of moments where they have some family time, which is kind of what I was telling a coworker this. I was like, you know, I really wish that was what Boruto was. It was just like a big, what happened after without a major plot. It was just, you know, people live in their lives. People, you know, we get to see Hinata and Naruto go to the market, you know, because there's a couple episodes like that in Boruto. But yeah, it's really, you know, sad to see what's happened to it. So either way, not the worst episode. In my opinion, I think the dodgeball episode for Spy X Family was the worst one. And Michael did mention that there's really not that much manga out anyway. So, you know, expect a little bit of this. So either way, let's go over to Chainsaw Man episode 6. We find out that this demon that is that is chasing them is the Infinity Devil, which is very interesting. I like the play on people's fears. So let's back up real quick. So if we remember right, devils get their powers from people's fears. So the more you fear something, the more powerful a devil can get. So, you know, that's why I'm interested to see, you know, what these devils are going to be. Because we've had everything from bats to leech, you know, kind of two in the similar category of fears. But it's very interesting, right? Because we have on the Devil Hunter side, we have the blood demon. There are a lot of people who are, oh man, I'm trying to remember the name. They're afraid of blood. They have a fear of blood. I can't remember what the name of it is, but you know, either way, there are a lot of people that are afraid of blood. Also, blood happens to be in a lot of scary movies, right? So it's very interesting to see, you know, powers, abilities will look like, you know, as people become more afraid, because, you know, she is a blood demon after all, or blood fiend, whatever. Blood devil, whatever. But then we have Denji, who is the chainsaw devil, and, you know, chainsaws are very, you know, people are afraid of them, but I don't know if they're more afraid of them than certain other things, right? So, yeah, for me, it's just kind of, like, strange to think about, because it seems like Denji has a lot of potential to really, evolve here. So, but either way, we figure out that the Infinity Devil wants Denji's heart, and so we get to see like the background. I don't remember their names, but the two people that came with Eye Patch Girl, I also don't remember her name. But we get to see, we get to see them really basically lose their minds. As you know, everything is going on around them, and they're just like, what is going on here? Like, you know, the girl is just completely lost her mind, and basically wants to kill Denji right away. And then the guy, kind of a similar vein, but, you know, a little bit more passive about it. But this girl wants out, dude. She's like, no, he's got to die. So we get to see, like, because assumedly, I would imagine, they've at least been there for, I want to say at least 3 days. I'm just putting a number on it, but I'm just making an assumption here because there was a point where Denji fell asleep. So I'm going to just say like a day has passed. Then, I mean, and then they're starting to run out of food because power eats it all, of course. They get hungry, right? So I would imagine it would at least be a couple days, right? So yeah, it's very interesting to see. But yeah, I mean, I never really thought about Infinity being a fear. But yeah, that's absolutely true, right? Like, Infinity is absolutely a fear of people because it's the fear of the infinite. So I would wonder if there's an unknown devil, meaning like the fear of the unknown. But yeah, either way, we figure out that it wants to kill Denji. And we kind of end the episode with a big cliffhanger. Like, is Denji going to be able to cut through this demon? Because it seems like it's so afraid of Denji's chainsaw. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. And then we have Aki. I'm just going to call him Aki. I can't remember what his full name is. But one of the things that he had mentioned is the sword on his back is actually very powerful, but it does take years off of his life. The eye patch girl, once again, don't remember her name, she does not want him to use it. And it's very interesting because I actually thought she was going to stay being like this, I'm trying to think of the term, but this really like boss character, but she kind of reverted back once she kind of saw, Aki get stabbed by that girl who completely lost her mind. But you know, I think this is very interesting how real this is, right? I think, I hate to keep drawing comparisons to Jujutsu Kaisen, but there is that kind of real aspect of they could die here. You know, we could absolutely die here, and we just don't know what to do. So I like the fact that they were pushing this corner. I just didn't expect it to happen so fast. Like, this is only episode 6 so far, so for it to happen like that, I think it's pretty good. So and now what they've done is they've opened the door to, what does this sword do? What does this sword do? You know, what's going to happen with these two like side character people? You know, what exactly is the extent of Denji's powers? Is it just that he has chainsaws and he's really strong, or, you know, what can he actually like? Are there other abilities, right? Because if you remember in episode, I want to say 3 or 4, right, when he's fighting that bat demon, he figures out that he can retract his chainsaws, right? So, I just like the fact that, you know, Aki has a reason to keep Denji alive. He's the only other one who's willing to go fight the Gun Devil. Granted, it's for a really stupid reason, but it's still a reason, and not too many people want to fight the Gun Devil, so he needs all the people he can get. So, either way, I'm excited to see what happens next. I love these outros, dude. They're so fun. I wish more shows would do it, but I completely understand why they don't. Okay, now we have Bleach Thousand Year Blood War, episode 6, and they're going like completely into it already. We have Genryusai just going ape all over Sarate, and just completely, you know, showing his Bankai, doing all this stuff. And also the fact that his Bankai has like 4 different forms is absolutely ridiculous, dude, to me. As he's facing quote unquote Yawak, or I'm just going to say Yawak. I think they said it a little bit differently, but then, right. And dude, Genryu Sai, dude, I just have to say some of the most beautiful, animation of Bleach I've seen in a while. I don't really remember if there was ever a time where it like kind of compares to it, but maybe Huacomundo when Ura Kyoto is fighting Ichigo, but I don't know, even that. Either way, man, I just really liked the way the flames were drawn. It looked like it was made by like a brush. It was so sick. Granted, it was all just to show us that Yamamoto was fighting a fake copy of Yawak as Yawak snuck into the prison to go talk to Aizen to go see, to go see if he'd join his side, which, by the way, thank goodness Aizen didn't join his side. It's bad enough that Yawak has the power to seal Yamamoto's Bankai, but I mean, can you imagine if Yawak ended up, by the way, did I say Yawak? Yeah, Yawak has the power to seal Yamamoto's Bankai, but the fact that that Aizen just, can you imagine if Aizen just came in there too? You know, it's just ridiculous what they would do. But, you know, a couple different things. It's really cool that first off we got to see Yamamoto's Bankai, because I remember we were kind of speculating on whether or not we've seen it before. We haven't seen it before. I was trying to remember exactly, but I do remember this part. I do remember these two things happening. And dude, it was so crazy in the manga where Yawak just comes in and just like, I'll take that Bankai. But you know, for me to kind of see that was in full, beautiful animation. It's just one of those things that feels so surreal. And I know this is going to sound very selfish on my part, but it makes me feel like one day we could actually get a very good Berserk, animation, and it's really making me hopeful. But either way, but yeah, I'm interested to see where it kind of goes from here, because if we remember, the captains were all, feeling very, very good about how everything was going. Like, oh man, Yamamoto's going to use his Bankai, he's going to do this, he's going to do that. But then, now that he, I mean, it seems like he's been cut down. I mean, that was the last shot of him getting basically cut in half. But it's interesting to see, how that played out. But and this may be an assumption. No, it is an assumption now that I'm thinking about, because it was so each person their powers stem from the letter that they're given. So Y was your face or something like that, and Z was something else. So I'm trying to remember what each one of them were, but either way, Yuwok seems to be giving them these letters, which gives them their powers. I'm not completely sure. Even though I've read the manga, I mean, first off, I wouldn't spoil that for you, but I really actually don't remember exactly how it is. So, but we also have Ishida in the background, really, considering about really trying to do his research with this book that he found in his father's study, and really kind of like looking into what happened. And instead, we figure out that this Quincy extermination was, or the Quincy War was not 200 years ago, but it was 1,000 years ago. So we're kind of getting different information here, which is kind of interesting as well. So yeah, I mean, it's interesting to see, right? Because Ishida, I feel like he's always been an underused character. Not ever since he lost his powers in the first season, right, where they go save Rukia, right, and he takes on Kurochiki or whatever his name is, and does really cool good with him, dude. Excuse me, but after that, he kind of plays like a background character, like a lot, especially when he fights that Aporo Grands. I don't know if you guys know what I'm talking about, but I think he was like the eighth Espada or something like that, and then Kurochiki comes and saves him and Renji. But either way, I really want to see him play like a bigger role, because this is literally a Quincy War, right? And that was one of the things that I really wished would have happened a little bit more, was that they would show Ishida being a little bit more on par with Ichigo, because Ishida is a lot like one of the last Quincys ever. So to see him, excuse me, to see him come back, or to see him, show his stuff, it would be really cool. So, I would like to see him a little bit more, and because I've always thought it was cool to see, like, the Quincy's versus the Soul Reapers, but having Ishida and Ichigo be the sign, right, that Quincy's and Soul Reapers can get along despite the fact that they have ultimately different goals, right? Because Quincy's basically completely annihilate Hollows, Soul Reapers kill them, and they bring them back to Sarutei and all that kind of stuff. So very good episode. Dude, that animation is killer, but I am kind of worried that we're gonna get a little bit of a dry spell for a little bit. But either way, I have to say they brought it back, and they went hard. By the way, can you believe this is episode 6? Episode 6, and we already got your boy Yamamoto getting slashed in half. Then we have My Hero Academia Season 6, Episode 120. And Deku and Bakugo have joined the battle against Shigaraki because everybody else is basically preoccupied with no moves. Dude, it is so cool to see Deku, take on Shigaraki. Now, obviously, it's interesting, right? Because we see this. We know that Eraserhead is really like trying his best to stop decay, which is Shigaraki's main quirk, but him just stopping it for the whole, because it's so powerful, dude. It's so ridiculous now. But with Shigaraki being as strong as he is, Deku's kind of the only one who can, take him on, physical wise. And it does make me curious, right? Like, how strong is Shigaraki? Is he about like percentage wise to All Might? Because if you remember, right, there was a Nomu who rivaled All Might in strength, which is insane to think, right? Because All Might at 100% is completely devastating. And you know, it'd be interesting to see, you know, what Shigaraki can deal with. Like, actually, it's probably a better question to ask what can Midoriya deal with, right? Because it was about 40% that I think he does it. He like he would go to 25 or 30%. I can't remember what Bakugo said, but it was about 25 or 30%. Like he would go up to people and then like at the last possible second he'd let out 40%. So but yeah, and then also we see him using this power, the binding power. I'm wondering though if we're gonna see another one, right? If we're gonna see a, you know, because it does seem like it's one for all versus all for one. It's not exactly Deku versus Shigaraki. It's those two powers. But now that Shigaraki has kind of killed off all for one, right? He's kind of killed off his ambition. He inside of him, he's, you know, it'd be interesting to see what Deku does now. But yeah, either way, man, I love what's going on here. And also, really cool thing. I was, you know, because I'd mentioned how big of a threat Gigantomachia is, and we kind of see him first off just ignoring Mount Lady, dude. He totally ignoring Mount Lady, which is exactly how I feel like it should be, right? Because if we remember, Gigantomachia is comparable to All Might strength. So it would be interesting, you know, I mean, it would be stupid if she just is able to stop him just outright. Instead, he's just dragging her along with him. But yeah, then we get to see the rest of Class A, especially you know, headed by Yayorozu, have to deal with you know, this big old beast. And then we figure out that Miss Midnight has, well, after she gets her butt handed to her, she figures out that you know, she says the only way to stop this dude is to sedate him, which is apparently against the rules, or it's against the law. I have no idea what that, what, like, you know, you can beat the crap out of people, you can break their bones, you can do that, you just can't sedate them. Is that really? And I thought that's basically what she does, you know what I mean, with her powers. So but I guess she does it, no, she does more pheromone stuff, so she tricks them. But I don't know, I'm wondering though if it's because of certain health conditions that if you put people under sedation, it could end up killing them. I'm just thinking a little bit too rationally about this. Maybe it's just a thing about it. But I mean, okay, can you imagine? You know, they go after these people because they had to sedate a gigantic monster that was going to a battlefield where the heroes were already losing. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, that'd be ridiculous. Also, the fact that Hawks literally killed twice already. You know what I mean? Like, one of them committed murder, one of them. And, you know, at the same time, I always wonder how much liberty these heroes have, right? Because they say, oh, heroes don't kill. Yeah, but I mean, are you telling me that there's never been, you know, an overuse of power by accident? You know what I mean? Like, it's never been anything, especially with some of these, especially with some people who have like, you know, pretty destructive power, like Bakugo. You're telling me that he there's never going to be a time where he just kills somebody by accident, especially with a grenade full of nitroglycerin in his sweat. Come on. But you know, I would be interested to see if he does do a little bit more. Like right now, actually, funny enough, we're seeing a lot less Bakugo being effective and much more Midoriya. You know, and Bakugo kind of getting really annoyed by this, but you know, ultimately, I don't really see him doing a whole lot, which I would like to see Todoroki maybe join the battle. I think he has a lot of defensive capabilities that can help them, whereas Endeavor, his main thing is offense with the flames. But either way, I'd like to see, I'd like to hope, you know, I'd hope that nobody dies here, but I hate to say this, but there is a, I feel like there's a hint in either the intro or the outro, and I can't remember exactly. I'm not gonna say exactly what it is, but I feel like sometimes they reveal a little too much in there. So, either way, I'm really enjoying My Hero. I gotta, dude, I cannot wait for the episode on Saturday, dude. But yeah, I love when like students have to step up for the heroes. Granted, they've been doing that a lot lately, so I mean, I feel like these students should definitely get a little bit more, recognition than they're getting. So either way, guys, hopefully you enjoyed that. Remember, you can check out all things casual at the link tree in the info box. Also, if you'd like to email us, you can email us at animecasuals@gmail.com. But as always, guys, don't forget to keep it casual.